Shows, NBC Sports Group announces new nightly studio shows for Versus, and Darren's going to be doing CNBC Sports Biz Game On with Darren Revelle, and that's going to be Fridays at 7. Darren, good morning.
Thanks for having me. I'm really excited about the show.
Well, we're excited to have you on our show. And first off, we know with the NFL and the lockout and getting through all that stuff, and now there's another league, and I saw you tweeting about this last night in the NBA. How serious of a situation is that, and is there the potential there that they could really miss an entire year?
Yeah, I mean, it's a serious situation because there's much more to lose from a fan standpoint through the NBA than there was ever for the NFL. And I don't think we're at the point, by the way, where they're ready to negotiate. I know there's reports saying, they might be getting close, it might happen sooner rather than later. But the thing that scares me is that there are more owners now, more than ever before, in David Stern's ear, including those on the negotiating committee, that would actually fare better if they didn't have a season. They'd make more money if they didn't have a season. And so that's the ultimate leverage. So I think the players know that they're going to get nailed on this one. I think it just depends on how long they think they're willing to, stick it out. And I think we could lose a whole season.
Yeah, and how unstable are these college conferences? And now we have Baylor suing to block a move to the SEC. Where does the Big East stand on all of this? Are they going to have to do something proactive?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, the NCAA can't do anything. I mean, they're an umbrella organization that has almost turned out to be just enforcement. It is about these schools. Where I'm concerned is, the conclusion that, one, the Longhorn Network's going to work. Texas A&M basically concluded that. And Texas A&M is, being petty about the fact, they're not Texas. Well, they're never going to be Texas. Going to the SEC, they'll still be the little stepchild as long as they're in the state of Texas. I'm also not convinced, by the way, that going to the SEC financially and starting the dominoes again, which we obviously had last year when Nebraska went to the Big Ten, and then you had the movement of the other Big 12 members to the Pac, now 12. I'm not convinced that Texas A&M and the SEC have worked out the numbers. The Super Conferences aren't the future if CBS and ESPN don't pay you more for one more team. Just because you change the substance of the conference does not necessarily mean that the TV deal is more valuable, and then you have to split it by now 13 and maybe 16 members. So I'm just not sure that these dominoes falling are actually in the best business interest of, the schools and the structure we have now.
But haven't they created a sense of, a sense of panic in some ways, where some schools in the conference, might think, well, if we don't act proactively, then we're going to get left behind, and then that
right,
chaos
yeah, that,
sets
I mean,
in.
That's basically the idea, that we don't really need to figure out the exact financials, because if we don't make a move now, then we're done. But I'll tell you this. I mean, obviously, if Texas A&M didn't move, then I think we would be fine. And this is just my opinion right now. I think the reason why Texas A&M feels they need to move is because they've already concluded that the Longhorn Network, the project with ESPN, is going to be successful, and Texas now has the impetus, getting that money, to go independent, and then they feel they're done. But I don't think the Longhorn Network has worked yet. There's tons of homes in Austin and Houston and Texas that don't have the Longhorn Network. The programming is three Mac Brown shows, one of probably two bad football teams against bad opponents, and eight men's basketball games. And the rest is Olympic sports that, how do I put this nicely, you're not going to call your cable provider to say, I must get this network or I'll switch.
Exactly.
Darren Revelle is our guest on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. He'll be hosting a brand new show that's going to air Fridays at 7 on Versus, CNBC Sports Biz, Game On with Darren Revelle. What are we going to get when we watch this show on Fridays, Darren?
It starts up tomorrow, and it's going to be, I mean, I think you guys would agree that over the past, 10 years, it's harder to be, you can't be a fan. You guys talk about the business on your show. You talk about contracts. You talk about agents. You talk about endorsements. I mean, you can't be the fan that you used to be if you don't know this. You can't win at the water cooler. So I'm basically helping you become a smarter fan. It's what I've done for the past 10 years at ESPN and CNBC. And we're going to bring the insiders on the show. So the first show, we have Roger Goodell. We have Mark Murphy, the Packers CEO. We're going to talk to Bob Parsons, the CEO of GoDaddy, about Danica Patrick and putting his brand on her car. We're going to have the CEO of Uggs to talk about Tom Brady's endorsement of the boots. So it's going to be all the insiders who do the deals. We're going to talk to Joel Siegel. This is just in the first show tomorrow. We're going to talk to Joel Siegel about Michael Vick's contract, and he negotiated Asamoah's contract, Chris Johnson's contract, so he's going to be on the show as well. And honestly, I don't know how contract negotiations go. Do they do it over the phone? Do they do it over email? Do they do it over in person? I don't even know what the standard is, so we're going to ask Joel about that. So I think people will find that this is different from anything else out there.
Speaking of Vick's contract, I was very critical of it. Has Michael Vick gotten to the point now, post-jail and the things that he's done, where he is now another large marketing figure where the Eagles can make a ton of money off his jersey sales and things like that?
Well, the jersey's kind of weird. He through August, from April to August, he was the fourth best-selling jersey in the NFL, which is just remarkable. But the way that the jersey sales work is that you split everything with all the other teams. So the Jaguars are making as much off Michael Vick jersey sales as the Eagles. He's done some deals personally. I think the Nike deal is remarkable. The fact that they severed his contract and now, they're saying, okay, we're going to give you a deal again. That's remarkable. But I hope that Michael, is himself now. When I say that, he's still surrounded by some people, I believe, that could get him in trouble. So I think he's got the second chance. I think he's earned it, by the way. On the show, we're going to talk about what it costs if you don't apologize. And I think he's apologized, and I think he's done some real things. Whether you think it was genuine or not for him to do the things he did take the steps that I think the public wanted him to take.
And that leads me to Eldrick Woods, who has taken on, I think, some questionable deals in Japan. He's going to play a little golf this fall, which he's never done. Is this guy in financial straits?
I don't think so yet. Now, obviously, a divorce won't win you much. But and I know that he has that ridiculous mortgage on his new house. I don't think he's in financial straits yet. But I will say that I've always said this is more Nixonian than Nixon himself, his fall. I mean, it's amazing. When he went through everything he was going through, we said to ourselves, are we going to be able to accept him? Is America going to be able to accept the comeback story? Who thought that this story, the way this story would be written, would be that almost two years later, he wouldn't win a single tournament. I mean, it's crazy, but I tell you from a story standpoint, it's extremely compelling, and it's hard to believe. It is hard to believe.
Darren, one of the lists that's out here, the Forbes list comes out every year, and the Steelers are kind of at the top of the middle third of the NFL at just over $1 billion, according to Forbes list. You mentioned this to Dan Rooney. I think I remember, when they went over $1 billion, it was like, hey, Dan, congratulations. Your team's worth $1 billion. He goes, those lists aren't right. How accurate, in your view, is this list compiled by Forbes magazine as to the worth of the NFL franchises, many of them over $1 billion?
They're always going to say it's wrong. They are guesstimates. I think they're good guesstimates. The only thing they have publicly is the Packers, basically, because they released their financials. I would say, Mr. Rooney probably doesn't think his team's worth $1 billion until he sells it. And, of course, we had that whole, Stanley Druckenmiller and the whole, who's going to get a piece of it. Do the Rooneys want out? And that didn't materialize, at least, not to where we thought it might. So I don't think they care that much about it. But I think, you know, the team owners always complain, but if you're going to complain, tell us why it's wrong. You know what? I feel like as a journalist, as a fellow business journalist, I have to protect Forbes and do what I'd want them, how they, you know, would defend me, I hope, which is if it's wrong, say how it's wrong. Give me the numbers. You can't just say it's wrong. So I think the biggest thing on the value of it is you have to remember that there's a trophy value to buying a team, to a franchise. And the Steelers wouldn't be worth what they were worth just from a book's financial value. They're also worth a trophy value. And that's what Forbes has to put on that. And it also depends on the timing. Listen, 6 years ago, you could have bought a team putting down 20% cash. Now you have to put down 80% cash. That changes the dynamic, too.
Darren, we only have about 30 seconds left, but I love your Twitter account. And one thing I noticed a lot of was pictures with you and SI swimsuit model Kate Upton on several different occasions. How did that happen? And were you? I mean, why am I not in the same place as her all the time?
I am happily married, I should say, but Kate and I have had a great relationship. I met her at her body painting in New York.
We weren't invited.
No, I met her and it was, we hit it off and she's the next big thing. And I did an hour show on the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue, and what a big robust business it is. And I'm telling you, she's a star and she's fun to follow. And the good thing is she loves sports too.
Darren, great stuff. Thanks a lot. I'll be following you on Twitter and we'll be watching Friday night.
You got it. Thanks, guys.
All right. Take care. Darren Revelle, CNBC.
Was he good?
Yeah, oh, great.
Just so good.
7 o'clock on Versus tomorrow night, his first show, a sports biz game on with Darren Revelle.